Dear congregation, this forgiveness business can be a real stuck point. It touches us in many ways. The passage we studied a couple of weeks ago out of Matthew 6, verses 12, and then that was the teaching on the Lord's Prayer, and then the commentary in verses 14 and 15, that was titled, maybe a little edgy, but Who Would You Be Willing to Go to Hell For? And it generated a lot of discussion by you, the congregation. And I thank you for your willingness to deliberate and to ponder these things. See, biblically, in the story of salvation, forgiveness plays the key role. The entire redemption story is about lost sinners, that's us, on our way to hell, even those of us who are really nice people, until we are forgiven. Forgiveness in Christ is what Paul calls the indescribable gift, because it is so amazing that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for you, and for me. That's why we sing, Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Our beautiful verse in 1 John chapter 1, the third verse, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. It's really a miracle that we have been adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters. And it's all because we are forgiven. Don't you love being forgiven? That should be worth an amen. Yeah. Forgiven, cleansed, redeemed, purified, justified, on the way to being glorified. All we can do is celebrate because we've been forgiven a debt we could not pay. And so far, so good, right? We're the benefactors. We love what we've heard so far. We love this forgiveness. And then the Bible teaches, to whom much is given, much is required. Or, to whom much has been forgiven, much forgiveness is required. Remember that passage out of Matthew 6, the one on the Lord's Prayer? Here's a little refresher. I know some of you weren't here a couple of weeks ago. Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, and this phrase, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, this is the only one Jesus gives a commentary on, and it's verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. In case you think I found some obscure little passage and wanted to just, you know, beat that axe and say, well, that's not really a biblical theme, we're going to look at Matthew 18 this morning. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. It's an interesting chapter, and sometimes it's known as the relationship chapter. And here that same matter comes up again about forgiveness. So let's read from Matthew 18. We'll start at verse 21. It's page 1401 in your pew Bible. Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. Hear the word of God. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I'll pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay me back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me. I'll pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. The opening lines of this passage pique our curiosity and teach us that the question about forgiveness are not new in our times, that they're probably as old as time itself. And Peter in his normal style, sharing with Jesus some of his great insights. And see, in the Old Testament, it was generally thought, and it was taught by the rabbis, that God forgave three times. Kind of like baseball, three times and you're out. Fourth time, no more grace. And that this was basically what was required of people in their daily business. So Peter, trying to show how spiritual he was, says, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" And then he throws out the number, up to seven times? Well, that's pretty noble. And I'm thinking at this point, Peter is expecting some praise. Say, "Wow, Peter, you are really a spiritual man. I'm impressed by what you're thinking." And think about it, as Peter presented this, that was quite a lot. Double what God did in the Old Testament, plus one. And then Jesus says, not seven times, but 77 times. Some versions say 70 times seven, seven being a perfect number. Furthermore, Jesus doesn't compliment Peter at all, but responds with a parable to show that this is really a critically important question. And so he uses the parable to teach the lesson. Jesus teaches how this plays out in the kingdom of God. And as Christians, we already live in the what we call the already not yet kingdom of God. And in just a quick review of the parable that we read, a review of all those represented in the story. First of all, God is, of course, the king. The king who is settling accounts with his servants, and then the king settles the account with a debtor. And it's obvious to see that this debtor is pretty helpless, pretty hopeless. There is no way he can pay back this debt. Absolutely no way. And he is on his knees begging because this is impossible. It's the only thing he can do is to beg to be let off the hook. In this story, Jesus makes it very clear that what the king forgave would be like in our day, like $1 trillion. I know different translations have different phrases, but what we read today, it talks about 10,000 bags of gold. There's no way that could be paid back. But because the king had pity on his servant, as he begged for mercy, he canceled the debt. And the king is the only one who can cancel the debt. It's all forgiven. When you read the story, and I know for most of us, this probably wasn't the first time we heard this story, but in your mind, don't you think that this servant should have left singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me"? Shouldn't his heart be filled with joy and excitement, exhilaration? I mean, this is unbelievable. 10,000 bags of gold? And he says, "Your debt's canceled." And don't you think that in experiencing such a gift of forgiveness, he would want to extend that to others? But look at verse 28. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded." You get the comparison? Someone owes this man a measly 100 silver coins, and he begs for mercy. But this guy's so hard-hearted, he has him thrown into a debtor's prison. See, the contrast between the debts and the behaviors is mind-boggling. In verse 31, we read that even the other people, the onlookers, if you would, say, "This isn't right. This isn't fair." They were so outraged by it all, they told the king. And then this wicked, heartless person ends up in jail and is tortured till he would pay it all back. And you know, when you read the story, aren't you kind of glad at that point? He got what he deserved. He had that coming, that heartless, cruel man. But here's the troubling part. Verse 35 is very similar to verses 14 and 15 in Matthew 6. Verse 35. "This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brothers or your sisters from your heart." So a very serious question to ask. Who of us wants to be like that heartless servant in verse 28? I mean, I said, by show of hands, who wants to be the heartless servant? How many hands would come up? See, I don't know how to read this without concluding we need to forgive each other, and we have no option. We need to forgive each other, and we have no option. And it's a matter of the heart. So I want to give a little commentary. To forgive others can be very hard. We don't have to deny that. So often when we think about forgiving someone, we feel like we're giving in, like somehow they won, and that we are weak. Yeah, they got away with it again. Got the best of me. And I want you to know that if we do things God's way, that is not how it works. When you will not forgive, it keeps you trapped. It does a lot more damage to you than the person you won't forgive. If you won't forgive, it steals your joy. It keeps your mind really busy because our mind gets hooked up in this process where it replays it and replays it. And then we replay it, if I would have done this, and then I would have done that, and then the other person looked bad. Our minds do that. You all know what I'm talking about. In a way, hanging on without forgiving can even give us a sense of being powerful. It's called negative energy. You've seen the t-shirts, right? I don't carry a grudge. I get even. I think if we had a warning label on us, it would read this: caution. Human will self-destruct if they do not practice godly forgiveness. Caution. Human will self-destruct if they will not practice godly forgiveness. Why is Jesus so big on forgiveness? One, that's all we have. We are forgiven. We love that. We sing about it. But he also knows that until we forgive others, we will never be free. Unforgiveness keeps us trapped. Not forgiving destroys us from within. Internalizing it is a lot like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. And it never works. We have to get away from the thought that forgiving someone absolves the wrongdoer. That's not what this is about. We forgive because it frees us. Forgiveness brings healing. Without forgiveness, there cannot be true healing in our hearts. It's a gift that God gives us. The prime example, the perfect example, is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we sing songs like, "Oh, to be like thee," we're singing about we too would like to be like Jesus and forgive others. It's God's gift to us. Do we trust him enough to turn over all of our pain to him? Here's a couple of basics we need to accept. Forgiveness does not come easy, and it does not come natural. Satan fuels unforgiveness. We got to always remember that. We're all engaged in spiritual warfare. And if Satan can fuel unforgiveness, in essence, he's having his way with us. We need to admit that we cannot do this in our own strength. It's absolutely impossible. Only the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit living in us, can give us the power to be able to forgive, to move us to this place. And forgiveness is not a one and done thing. Sometimes it's a long process. It's a journey. It's something we have to do over and over. It's almost like a type of therapy where you do it every day till you build up the strength. Some areas, that's what we have to do with forgiveness. But the key is being honest with God. Being honest with God. Starting out with just telling God. Maybe you're so low that you start off with telling God, "I just hate so-and-so. I just absolutely hate him. And I wish bad things would happen to him. But because I belong to you, I know that's not right. So, Father, I need you to change my heart. Because I cannot do this on my own." God never rejects us for our honesty. When we come to him with our struggles, If we come that honestly to him, he will equip us and go before us. We need to be honest with him so he knows where our heart is at, where the stuck places are, what we're struggling with, and to turn it all over to him. All the events, all the names, all the things I'm struggling with, tell him your pain. He's the only one that can make a difference. And only God can change a heart. When you work on forgiveness, you're not letting somebody off the hook. That's not what this is about. This is so you can be healed. And until we ask for that, we cannot be healed. Ask God to work in your heart and then thank him for all that you have been forgiven. Remember the introduction to this little message, how thankful we were to be forgiven? Almost got an amen after a little coaching. Tell him you want to get to that place where only he can bring you. The place of freedom, the place of rest, the place of peace. Look forward to being free. You know, I'm amazed at how many people will let others live in their heads rent-free as they torment you. Why would you do that? Let people live in your head rent-free as they torment you. I want to just give a little caveat. Some people pray that they just forget. I'd encourage you not to do that. I always picture that. That's like praying you get Alzheimer's. Forgiveness means that it brings healing. It doesn't mean that you forgot. It means that the emotional charge has been taken out of it. The simplest example I know is if you've been cut open for open heart surgery, the day after you don't want anybody touching your chest area because that is raw and painful. But 2 years later, the scar is still there, but you can go like this and nothing hurts. Why? The pain has been taken out of it. The nerves have been healed. That's what it means to be to forgive and to be healed. As a follower of Jesus, picture this scenario with me. Shouldn't be hard. He's talking with you, and you are praising him for all the blessings, especially the gift of salvation bound up in forgiveness. Remember, in the story, we are really the ones who owe the 10,000 bags of gold. And then Jesus asks you, do you feel I've forgiven you a lot? It would be hard to answer in any other way than to say, yes, I have been forgiven a lot. And then Jesus asks you, so what keeps you from forgiving so-and-so? You know the names that fit in the blank. What keeps you from forgiving so-and-so? How would you defend yourself to Jesus explaining why there are some people you just won't forgive? How could you do that? Could you really look at Jesus and say, thank you for all that you have done in my life. You've transformed me. You've forgiven me. You've promised me eternal life. Therefore, I can sing, I surrender all. But Jesus, a couple things here. See, there's absolutely no room for any but or any excuse. None. We don't have a leg to stand on. That means that I surrender the people that haunt me. I surrender the people that have hurt me. The people that have ruined parts of my life, or maybe you're thinking they've ruined my whole life. I give them all to the Lord. See, I'm pretty sure you don't want to be handed over to the jailers to be tortured until you pay back a debt that you could never pay back. And according to verse 35, that is in store for all who will not forgive their brothers or sisters from the heart. I close with this verse from Ephesians 4:32, written by Paul while in prison. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll have communion. The Sunday before communion, we always have a prep form. And I know that sometimes that's like, oh, that'll be a little bit longer service because he's got to read that. But the prep form really does have a purpose. It makes us look forward to coming to the table to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, the Feast of Remembrance, Communion, and of Hope. But it also instructs us to make things right with each other. I don't think we should overlook that. Hear the words of the preparatory form. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together, with the help of God, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. We come to the table to commune with our Lord. We come in awe and reverence for the place where we stand as holy ground. Here the Lord offers us the manna of life. If we are to experience this celebration with our Lord and be nourished by the Spirit, let us examine ourselves first, then eat the bread and drink from the cup. The benefit is great if with penitent heart and living faith we receive the Lord's Supper. Let us acknowledge our sin before our merciful God with full intention of amending our lives. Let us make restitution for all injuries and wrongs done to others. And let us forgive those who have offended us, as we ourselves have been forgiven. All children of the covenant, be reconciled with one another, and then come joyfully to the banquet. If you're in need of help or counsel, then go and open yourself to a wise, discreet, and understanding brother or sister in the faith and confess your sin. Receive spiritual counsel so that you may experience the assurance of God's pardon and the strengthening of your faith. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, and what we have done and what we have left undone. Therefore, we pray before you, asking that you have mercy upon us. And in your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for this form. We thank you for the richness of your word. We thank you for your grace, how you extend it to us. And even in this passage that in some ways is a harsh passage, you put it before us and say, I know you can't do this. Let me do it for you. All you want us to do is surrender it all to your Lordship. Give us soft hearts and willing spirits that you could be our all in all. That we would be fully occupied by the Holy Spirit and live in such a way that we experience the freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ, because one, we are forgiven, and two, we have forgiven others. Would you graciously equip us to be able to do that? As we pray it in Jesus' name, amen.